Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody.
morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending where you are in the world. I am wishing you a wonderful day, afternoon, or evening. This is Cynthia Fontaine, Spirit Guru and the Rhode Island Psychic Medium, coming to you live from sunny New England. At least it's sunny where I'm at. Not sure if it's sunny all over New England, but we are lucky to see the sun today, for which I am grateful. We have had a very, 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 very rainy fall and winter, and our ground is really saturated. And I'd love to send some of this rain over to some of the dry places in the country and in the world, because we certainly have had plenty of rain. No snow yet, at least where I'm at. And for January, rather unusual. All right, so I'm actually on my phone at this moment, and I am going to switch over to the computer because it's easier, but I did not have access to my computer until this moment. So let me see what I can do here to switch over to the computer. It's probably going to tell me I'm calling into a live show. And do I really want to do that? So let's see what happens. I'm going to go to my studio because I can't see callers or take callers on when I'm on the phone when I'm calling in. So I am going to, it's not letting me in. Oh my goodness, I might have to stay on the phone for this show. And if that's the case, that means I will not be able to take callers. Hold on one moment, please. You know, all this technical stuff. All right, here's the link. I sent myself an email. Okay. Connect to the broadcast. All right, let's see what happens. I'm not sure if it's working. I don't know if this is working. Let me go back over here and see what happens. I don't think it worked. Hold on one moment, please. I'm going to close that out. It's always interesting with Cynthia Fontaine, for sure. Let's see. Telling me I have to go on Chrome, so I'm going to try it this way. Thank you so much for your patience. So, interesting, right, for our topic today, life happens, yes, allow Blog Talk to use my mic. Let's see, I think it's working.
Blog Talk Radio. You are now in the host queue.
Oh, perfect. Okay, hold on. Know that I'm actually on. It's always an experiment. Okay, let's see. There we go.
There we are.
Okay, this isn't going to work.
Talk Radio.
Okay. I guess I'm going to have to stay on the phone and chat with you guys. Anyway, so that means actually I might be able to take callers because I can see my studio. Anyway, try to call in and see what happens. I guess the call in number is 516-595-8267. Again, the guest calling number is 516-595-8267. And I am going to hop on over here to Facebook to get my Facebook peeps on. I just realized I have no makeup on. I haven't gotten my face ready this morning. Well, it is what it is, peeps. You get me real and raw. That's the nice thing about radio is I can be in my pajamas and nobody even knows. Okay, let me see what I can do here about Facebook. And in the meantime, all you guys out here in my Blog Talk land, I want to thank you for being here, whether you are listening live or you're getting kind of a view of my office here. Or if you listen to the recording afterward, I appreciate you. And I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule in life because we're all busy. Let's face it. You know, that's just life. Life happens. And that's our topic today. Life happens. And how do we deal with life happening is really the key. You know, I've had a lot of life happening to me, around me. Sometimes things are out of our control. We have absolutely no control. And then, you know, sometimes things are in our control and we can create our own good. We can also create our own chaos, depending on, you know, our actions, our thoughts, our words that come out of our mouth. And so it's sort of like everything throughout, there's duality, right? There's things that happen to us, happen around us, and then there are things that happen because of us. Right? And so, in a sense, however, whether it happens to us or happens around us, it happens because of us, dealing with whatever comes up, it's really sort of the same, right? Because no matter whether we create a situation or the situation comes about just because situations do, how we deal with those situations once they have arrived is key. Sometimes we create our own drama and things we don't want. We can sometimes get into a funk, right? Oh, my God, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I created that. What am I going to do now, right? What if I had done things differently? What if I hadn't said that? What if I didn't write that email or send that text or, you know, yell at my partner or mom or kids or whatever? We have all done those things because as human beings, sometimes we say and do things that we regret later. We don't really mean, but we can't take it back. All we can do is move forward from that point on. And one of the things is I have found in my life is regret takes a lot of energy to hold on to and doesn't create a lot of really, really important something to think about, right? And I want to say that again because I think it's so important, and I'm not even sure I've ever heard anybody else say this before. I could have, right? I could have said it, heard it from somebody else, and it just stayed in my mind. But at this moment in time, I don't recall hearing anyone else say that. But again, could be, and if you have said it, then I will give you credit for it. Okay, so regret takes a lot of energy, and it doesn't produce any added benefit or result. So I want to make sure that you guys can still hear me on Blog Talk here, because I can't really tell. It says that I'm connected and I'm online, but it's hard to tell from the phone. So, oh, okay. It looks like I'm still on. All right. I just changed screens here on my phone. All right. So I am also now on Facebook Live, and I'm hoping my peeps will show up here as they realize I'm here. Sorry for being late, you guys. I didn't have my face on. Good morning, Cindy. Good morning, Mary Elizabeth. Where? Good morning, Manziel. I hope I said that right. I'm talking this morning about life and how life happens, and New Year's resolutions, because we've just passed what is called now Quitter's Day. There's been sort of this research that people keep New Year's resolutions for so many days, and then they break them. They quit them, right? So say, for example, you said, oh, you know, I'm going to lose weight this year, I'm going on a diet, and you start this really restrictive diet, or the you know, frequent one, really frequent one is, I'm going to go to the gym and work out. And people spend more money on gym memberships around New Year's and then never use them than sort of like any other thing out there. And I wonder, like, probably Weight Watchers has that sort of same thing happen. Or any kind of program like that where a lot of people join, but then they're there for so many days and then that's it. They never show up again. And then what do we do after that? We regret, right? We think, oh, here it is again. Every year I make that resolution and every year I break it. Right. How many of you have done that? Good morning, Mary Ellen. Good morning, Mary Ann. Good morning, Kathy. And so how many of you have done that and broken it, right? I know I have, but I have a new way. Well, it's not really new. I've been doing this actually for quite a few years now. I don't make resolutions any longer. I now do vision boards, right? And I, through the vision board, you know, is such a productive way, and it can be a really effective way to create the things that you want to see in your life, right? So the last vision board that I made, I had the different sort of areas on it, and one area was this area where it was these group of people, you know, having fun, right? And it was primarily women, and it was, you know, vacation spots and so forth. And there was kayaking with other people and things like that. And at the time, I didn't have a kayak when I made that board, and I hadn't been kayaking in a long time. And so, you know, when you make the board, you make it with the feeling, right? First of all, is if you already have it. And then, you know, second, and it's important that you feel like it's not lacking. So when I look at that board, still today, I go, oh, that feels so good, right? Being in the Sedona sun. And I went to Sedona twice after making that board with a group of friends. and I got a kayak, and I've done a lot of kayaking since I made that board. I also put cars on there because I needed a new car at the time. And I got a new car. And it wasn't the car that I expected to get. And that's part of the whole thing is, right, you put it out there to the universe and don't be attached to the form in which the universe brings it. I'm looking for lipstick because I'm realizing, like, I need some lipstick here, but I don't have any on my desk.
funny. Good morning, Gina. Good morning, Amy. Good morning, Thelma. So many people are joining in. And there's some callers now on the in the studio on Blog Talk as well. So let's see, where was I? Squirrel. So I like what Mary Ellen says. Mary Ellen says that she chooses 3 theme words for the year. I really like that idea. Really like that idea. Oh, and Amy on Facebook says, this is the 3rd time I've heard about vision boards in the last 2 hours. So, Amy, I always say that when you hear things once, okay, when you hear things twice, you might want to pay attention. When you hear 3 things 3 times, that's the universe knocking on your door saying, hello, time to get this done. So find a vision board workshop around you, Amy, wherever you're at. I have one coming up this weekend. Actually, I have 2 coming up this weekend. I have a public one, and then I have a more exclusive private one. If you got anybody in my local area, though I know everybody that's listening to me, I think currently is not in my local area. But if you're in the Rhode Island, Massachusetts area, I'm hosting a vision board workshop at Duval Grooves in Fall River, Massachusetts on Saturday, 12:30 to 4, I think is the time. And you can sign up right online. Go to my Rhode Island, Cynthia Fontaine, the Rhode Island Psychic Medium on Facebook, and you can sign up there, or you can go to Duval Groove's website and sign up there. I love you guys. Good morning, Lisa by Grace. Go lipstick free. You look good, natural, and beautiful, Marianne says. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Yeah. So life, right, happens, and then what do you do about it? It's like, Tom Hanks in, my mind just totally went blank, in that movie, Forrest Gump. Life is like a bowl of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get, right? And sometimes that can be very true. Sometimes the things that we want the most, we get, and then we get them and realize this wasn't exactly what I was expecting, and I'm not really keen on the results or the sort of the situation and how it's evolved, right? So, like, say, for example, you want this particular work or job, and you get it, and then you get there, and you find out that the place isn't exactly run in a way that you really vibe with. And so you've wanted this big job, or, you know, even if it doesn't have to be a big job, but you wanted to work for a particular certain place. And you've thought about it, and you put it on your vision board, right? And then it happened. And then you get there, and you go, oh, this is not what I was expecting or what I thought. So the really important thing here about creating in your life is the feeling, how you want to feel, not so much the form of it. It's the feeling of how you want to feel. Good morning, Alex. Alexandra is in Germany. Hello. Oh, so fun. I love you guys. I'm a little stuffy this morning. I have this allergy thing going on. Well, you guys know, all of you who listen to me and watch me on Facebook, that I was sick for a few weeks after going into a house that had a lot of mold in it that I was looking at as a possible rehab. And I've gotten over that, but I still have this allergy kind of thing going on. So I apologize. I'm really all stuffy. Hold on, let me pick that up before the dog comes down and picks it. The puppy, well, he's not a puppy anymore. In fact, oh, he turned 2 days ago. He loves to chew things. He's good, though. He doesn't chew furniture or anything like that. But he loves to pick things up off the floor. If he drops something on the floor, He loves to pick it up and then run away with it. It's a big game then, right? And chew it up. So anyway, okay, so let's go back to kind of the topic, right? Life happens, and then what do you do? Right? So again, some things we create in our lives, and then, you know, and sometimes what we create, we love the results of. And then other times, things we create, we don't like the results of so much. And sometimes things are brought into our life that we didn't create, you know. And I can use my own life as an example where I always go the wrong way with my hair on. It's weird because chrome actually makes me backwards. I don't know why it does that. When I'm on Safari, I'm turned around the other way. It's weird, but it is. Anyway, so and you guys, if you've tuned in before, you've heard me talk about this, where the septic in the apartment that I rent, it backed up into my first floor bathroom over the summer. And the guy, the house was sold a little more than 2 years ago, and the gentleman that bought the house doesn't spend money to maintain it. And as his property manager calls him, says he's a cheap Portuguese. And I say that only because I'm Portuguese, so I feel that I can say it because I can own it. Mary Ellen does the same thing on Facebook Live, right? It drives me crazy. But anyway, so he, 10 days had gone by and there was no cleanup crew in sight. So maybe 7 days and still no cleanup crew in sight. And I ended up having to hire an attorney to get him to get a cleanup crew here. And finally, 10 days later, he got a cleanup crew here. But then that being said, when the cleanup crew came in, there was more damage than the property owner expected. And they had to gut the bathroom, and they had to also take the flooring out in the bathroom into a closet and then out into my front foyer. And so it was a bigger job, and then the landlord just wanted to come in and put bleach down and forget about it and not pull up the flooring that had now bacteria under it. Anyway, to sort of kind of tighten the story up and make it a little bit shorter, he decided that I needed to pay more rent because now, you know, this was going to cost him money. Now, I have a lease in place. And I didn't think that was exactly proper. So we went back and forth, and he was trying to find loopholes to make me pay more rent and so forth. And I stuck my ground. And the result of that is when my lease is up at the end of April, he's not going to renew my lease. So I'm looking for a place to live. And the price in rentals where I live have increased approximately 25% to 30% within the last year and a half to a year since I renewed this lease. So a two-bedroom you could get for, you know, $1,600, $1,700. Now a two-bedroom is $2,000. So it's kind of pricey. And I know if you're in California or some other places, then maybe that seems really inexpensive. But for the area that I'm at, it's really expensive. And if I just go over the bridge off the island to, the other part of the state, then I can get an amazing place for, you know, $1,400 or $1,500, three bedrooms, two baths, garage, et cetera, et cetera. But then, you know, I leave the home, the community that I love. My daughter then has an hour commute to work, even though it's a small state, you know, that when you have to go from one side to the other, there's not any really good way to get onto the island that's fast. So this was a situation in my life that happened, right? And so then how do you deal with it? So I've had some little freakouts, right? Like, oh my God, because I can't find a rental. We have a 35-pound dog who's good, you know. I mean, like I said, he chews things like makeup brushes, right? Things that fall on the floor. Doesn't chew the furniture. He's not destructive. He's very playful and super hard. And so now we're looking at buying a house, which is not sort of like it's not what I expected to be doing at this point, but it's going to be cheaper for me to have a mortgage than it is for me to pay rent for in this particular area. But that being said, the housing market's really limited. If you're buying a $500,000 or $600,000 house, tons of them. If you're trying to buy something under $300,000, really limited. So again, this is a situation where life happened, and then, you know, I have to deal with it, okay? So how have I dealt with it? One of the things that I'm doing and have been doing is when I get into the moment of panic, I look at the evidence of what has gone past. So when I say that, the evidence of what has gone past, the evidence of my life and what that has shown me around situations like this in the past. And I've had several times in my life in situations where I've had to move and didn't particularly, you know, want to. Life happened and I had to move. Got divorced. My ex-husband got the house. Had 6 weeks to find a place to live with two kids, a dog, and a cat. And it was sort of a very similar situation where rentals at that time were super limited. There was a housing war. The market had collapsed, and though houses were very inexpensive, a house would come on the market. You'd go and look at it the same day it came on the market, and it would be sold 20 minutes before you got there. And that happened over and over again the first week that I was searching for a place to live with my kids. And the second week, I ran into this guy that I've known for a long time, and I knew him from the horse world because my daughter competitively showed horses as she was a kid growing up, and so I knew him from the horse world. And I ran into him one day, and he's like, "So what's going on? How are you doing?" Da, da, da. He says, "Oh, the divorce is final. I have to move. I have now at that point a week had gone by. I have 5 weeks to find a place to live." Well, where are you going to be in 10 minutes? And at that time, I was delivering mail. So I told him where I was going to be. And he shows up 10 minutes later with an MLS book. Then it was books, right? You still had the paper print. Now everything's online, of course. And I said, well, how do you have this book? This is only for realtors. And I'm thinking, he knows somebody, right? Turns out he is a real estate broker. And he says, "I'm going to find you a house." And so we go to look at a house. And again, it'd been sold 20 minutes before we get there. And that seriously, literally happened on two occasions. And it was the same sort of situation where I had expanded my search. And was looking outside of the area that I really love and feel comfortable in. And I've moved to other places in the past, but I always come back to this area because I really love it. My search was pretty expansive, as it is now. And all of a sudden, one of my friends at the time, who also delivered mail, because I had every mail carrier in four or five towns that I knew looking, she says, "Hey, this house is coming on the market." And the guy that owned the house used to work for me when I owned the florist shop. So I call my broker and I say, "Hey, this house is coming on the market. Can you find out about it?" He makes a couple of calls. The house had just come on the market that day. Wasn't even listed yet. He says, "Meet me over there at 11:30. Happened to be my day off. I meet him over there, walk in the door. He walked in the door first. I didn't even have literally he did not have a foot over the threshold. He turns around and says, "You're buying this house." I left an offer on a paper napkin, because that was all we could find to write on in the house, and a check for $100. That was the deposit. And that's how I bought the house. It's the craziest story ever, right? Lived in that house for 15 years. But that's the haunt. That was the haunted house, and I probably talked about that before. I should do a whole show on that and about clearing and spooks in the house and things like that. So that was the house that had the portals in it, and when I bought the house, it hadn't been lived in for 2 years. The fellow who worked for me had moved in with his girlfriend, and the house had been empty for 2 years. So though he had left the heat on and things like that, the house wasn't cared for. And it was an older house. It had the original windows. It was built in 1929. It needed all kinds of work, basically. So I thought, well, I'll do one big project a year. And that's what I was doing. So I was doing one big project a year. The house got into the MERS pool, the mortgage electronic recording system. The mortgage, you know, because banks all the time sell mortgages off, but they record, you know, who the next bank is that owns it and where the title is and so forth. And in the, let's see, what year was it? It's what caused the last housing crisis, which if you look at some history and look at records, there are people who are in charge right now here in the States who had a lot to do with that and who benefited financially greatly from that housing crisis. Anyway, there were investors ready to buy these mortgages and these titles and so forth, and they were what was called, what they felt was risky mortgages. And so it was, for example, people that had 0% down. Now I put 20% down, whatever, but that's not here or there and important. But my mortgage got sold off 5 times in less than a year. And then the title got exchanged and bought. So it ended up where we didn't know who owned the mortgage or who owned the title of the house. So I'm writing the check every month, and we don't even know where the money's going, because there was a mortgage servicer, which was Chase, J.P. Morgan Chase. So I would send the check to them, not unbeknownst to me, they didn't own the mortgage. I was in actually a lawsuit with the bank for 4 years to try to make them produce the mortgage and the title, and they never would or could. And every state ended up had to assign attorneys to the judges to hear these cases, because there were hundreds of thousands of houses in the same boat. And some states were actually going in favor of the people that own the house and were making the banks fix the title and fix the mortgage. Unfortunately, in the state I live, which is known as the littlest, corruptest state in the union, the judge was ruling in favor of the banks and saying, oh, no, you don't have to do that, and was giving the bank the houses. So anyway, to make a long story short, at one point my attorney said, we don't know where the mortgage is, the money's going. Don't pay the mortgage anymore. Because the house, they kept trying to take the house, et cetera, et cetera. And so I stopped paying the mortgage, and, we knew at one point that I was going to lose the house, because there was no other way around it. But the house has been everything was so messed up and corrupt, and I tried selling the house 5 times. I put the house on the market, could never sell it. Because it was haunted, people would walk into the house and go, oh, I don't know. It's kind of, yeah, I don't, and they'd walk right back out. Or they'd get argumentative, right? It was the craziest thing to see. I had this one guy walk in, and then he was arguing later that I took the glass out of the kitchen cabinets on purpose. There was never any glass in the cabinets. So funny, right? I never put the glass in. And he's arguing. There was glass in those cabinets and she took them out. I'm not buying a house. Crazy, right? So anyway, but those are the kind of things that happened. And then, so the situation happens where, again, interestingly enough, I get the notice that game's over, right? And that, I have to move again. So I actually gave the bank back the house. I actually signed it over to them and said, I will give you the keys to the house, cash for keys. You give me money to move, I'll give you the house. And the house was underwater because, you know, the market had crashed. The house still needed lots of repairs. And, while I was trying to get everything sorted out, I wasn't doing repairs because why was I going to do repairs to a house that I didn't even know, if I was going to be able to retain because of the mortgage being all convoluted and the title being bad. Anyhow, so I gave the bank the house back, gave them signed over, said, I'll give you the keys, you give me X amount of dollars to move. So that's what I did. Same situation as then, although this time, you know, it's the most time I've ever had to look for a place to live. The last two times I've had to find a place, I only had 5 or 6 weeks to find a place. And it was the same thing then with the cash for keys. And I was like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? So I was looking, couldn't find the place that was, just, like, perfect. And then all of a sudden a place comes up, like, 3 weeks before I had to move. And I've been in that place now for 6.5 years, and I love it here. I love the house. I love the neighborhood. I love my neighbors. I love the property. And I was hoping to be able to buy this house, but then the woman who owned it sold it without, and she knew I wanted to buy it, but then she sold it 6 months before I had planned on buying it without even telling me that she was selling it. Or telling the other tenant as well. So crazy stuff happens, right? So life happens. And then what? So the new owner comes in. First thing that happens, he comes in with his inspector. They're playing with the breaker panel. And turn off and on all the breakers. And didn't turn one back on, unbeknownst to me. Because I was actually really sick the week that they came. And the breaker was for the garage, and I hadn't been out in the garage for that whole week. I go out there to get something out of the freezer a week later, and there's no power out there. They had shut the breaker off for the garage where my freezer is and didn't turn it back on. So I lost an entire freezer full of food. So you'd think he would have made good on that. No, because he didn't quite own the house yet. The previous owner said, nope, I'm not doing it either. Not my responsibility. So go through your insurance. Well, I have a $500 deductible, right? So that was the foot that we started on. Not so good. And then I've paid for all the maintenance and repairs that I've done here. I call up the property manager, who, interestingly, bought the house that I owned in Tiverton. How crazy is that? And I'd say, oh, this needs to be fixed. And I would end up having to fix the stuff myself. Anyway, blah, blah, blah. Long story short, it's time to go. Now, this is the most time I've ever had to look for a place. So I've had months and months to look. And still, the market right now is really tight. There's not a lot for sale. In not just the town that I live in, but all the surrounding area, and I've had to expand my search again. What would be perfect for me? Perfect would be a 2-car garage on an acre of land or more, water view, 2 bedrooms, an office, 2 bathrooms. Hello, big kitchen because I love to cook and I love to have parties and guests and et cetera. That would be perfect. And I'd like it to cost $220,000. Yep, that's what I'd like. That would be perfect. And so I'm, you know, looking, and so I've had moments of panic, and what I've had to do is remind myself, what is the evidence of the past? Hi, Tiffany. Hi, Valerie. Hi, Heather. Hi, good morning, Jeannie. So when I look at the evidence of the past, the evidence of the past has shown me significantly that I've always found the perfect place that I have come, that I loved. And even the house in Tiverton, even though there was all that nonsense going on, at the time when that was happening, going through the lawsuit with the bank, I was out of work due to a car accident. And so I didn't have the money to pay the mortgage. So the fact that I didn't have to pay the mortgage, but I had a roof over my head, worked out divinely perfect. It was divinely perfect. You can't make this stuff up, right? So in the month that I was trying to get retired for 2 years. The month that my retirement came through was the month that I had to move. Imagine that, right? So I have to trust and have faith in the universe. I have to have trust and faith that in the divine, something bigger than me is at work here, right? It didn't work out. Or, my partner was supposed to buy this house. He didn't buy the house because the terms were changed at the last minute. Then I was going to buy the house. Then it got sold out from under me, right? So even though I love it here, I love the house, I love the location, I love the property, I love the neighborhood, there's something else out there for me that's going to be perfect. And so, you know, I have to believe that and trust that. Lisa by Grace says, similar banking corruption with the mortgage story, and ended with the sheriff carrying gun, removing us from the house. Yeah, horrible, horrible, you know. There were hundreds of thousands of people affected in the States, and I know other countries around the world, because this collapse was not only in the States, it was also, you know, it was a global collapse. And I've talked about this a little bit on my shows in the past couple of months, is that we are in very uncertain times here. Good morning, Lynn. Peruse and Facebook. Good morning, Nathan. The feeling, we're going to talk about that. Good morning, Christine. Good morning, Mallory. Good morning, Sharon. The thing is, is that we are globally looking at a very sort of influx situation right now globally. We know that, there's some things going on in China that are sort of shaky. We're seeing some other countries that are sort of flexing and showing their wealth. And then we have our situation that's going on here in the United States, where there are 800,000 federal employees out of work who aren't getting paychecks with no end in sight, right? So the Congress in the United States, and I don't want to talk too much just about the United States because I know I have listeners all around the world, but there may be some things happening in your country that are similar as well. Congress here in the United States could end the shutdown right now. And even though the president won't pass a bill that doesn't have border wall funding in it, now he originally asked for $1.6 billion, then he upped it to $5 billion, then he's up to $5.7 billion. Now he wants that was $6 billion. Now he wants $7 billion to build this wall that's never going to work. Sharon loves this topic for uncertain times regardless of where we live. Yeah, so there's always going to be situations. There's going to be periods of time where things in life, are going smooth, going along, and then all of a sudden, boom, stuff happens. Life happens, right? Box of chocolate. You get that strawberry center and you don't like it, right? You get some nougat and you go, oh, I'm not so crazy about that, right? And then what do you do with it? My mother used to punch a hole in the bottom of the chocolates with her thumb to see what they were and only take the ones that she liked. And then she put the chocolate back in the container and you wouldn't know that she had done it. But we got wise to her after a while, and then we would just flip them over to see what they were, to see if we liked them. But generally, she would eat all the good ones and then just leave the nougats. Funny, right? So in these uncertain terms, right, I have been recommending for months now to my clients to start thinking about moving their money. And when, you know, you move your money, where do you move it to, right? The stock market has been really good for a long time here, but we're seeing that shifting. And when there are certain uncertain times, the stock market gets shaky. Then what do? Mutual funds? Well, those are wishy-washy too, right? Government bonds? Well, if the government is shut down and the government is going through all these changes, do you want to do that either? It's sort of a tricky wicket, right? And so, you know, you want to have cash if you can. You know, cash is kind of king. And I'm not saying liquidate everything and make it cash. But, you know, you want to sort of be mindful. If you're heavily invested in the stock market, and you might want to think about moving those things around. Or mutual funds, same thing. And, you know, get some good advice from an advisor who's been through this kind of situation before. And, you know, they all say, oh, weather it out, don't move your money. Well, you know, that sounds all great and wonderful, but the last time the economy collapsed, and I'm not saying that it is, but things are shifting, and the longer that these 800,000 people stay out of work, then the more difficult it's going to be in the States here, and it could put us into a meltdown. So, you know, advisors say, oh, stick it out. So the last time it happened, I worked for the post office then, and I was advising my worker friends to get out of the stock market for several weeks. And I said, look, you guys need to take your 401ks and get them out of the stock market now. And only one guy in the office took my advice. And within 6 days, so the market had a huge loss one day, and then it continued over the 6 days, and it lost over 50%. And so everybody else, now I moved my money, my one, you know, coworker moved his money, but the other 25 guys didn't move their money, and they lost more than half of their retirement account. So that made them have to, and some of them were closer to retirement, and they had to then work longer. Some of them are just retiring now. They had to work an extra 10 years. You know, and if you're in your 50s or 60s and you've delivered mail already for 25 years, your body is tired and beat up, and they had to do another 10 years. Right? Do you want to do that? Anyway, that's my rant on that. Just be wise about your money. Take a good look at it. Start shifting things around, you know, because the United States economy affects everybody. Cindy Fallon, my mom said, always said tricky wicket. I don't know if I've ever actually said that. Isn't that interesting? And Lisa says she says tricky wicket all the time. Yeah, so I'm channeling one of you guys. Maybe I'm channeling Shirley. Hi, Shirley. Love you in heaven. Yeah. So life happens, and what do you do with it? So, you know, you can crawl up into a ball and say, oh, you know, this is the best I can do. I don't, blah, 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 right? And sometimes we do that. But we have to get out of that. Oh, I'm just looking. I spelled happens wrong on my Bug Dog Studio. funny. So life happens, right? And then what do you do with it? You get the chocolate you don't like. What do you do with it? Throw it away. Put it back. Whatever. Pick another chocolate. And that's life, right? Life happens, and then you change direction. Life happens, and you go meditate. Life happens, and you take a walk. Life happens, and you call a friend and have coffee. Life happens, and you, Cindy Fall is making Shirley's banana bread right now. Oh, I can smell it baking. I'd love her recipe. Love to make banana bread. I have bananas in the freezer right now. I can make it. squirrel. All right. So life happens, and then what do? So maybe you, like me, I have a real estate agent, right? I have a mortgage broker. I am setting up, you know, have been setting up my finances to you know, said that, you know, I never wanted to own a house again by myself. Well, interestingly enough, I'm going to buy this one with my daughter. So I'm not owning it by myself. And, you know, because I owned a house on my own for 15 years. And it's a lot. It's a lot. It's a lot. So this time I'm doing it with my daughter. And, you know, so I'm rolling with it. And I trust that the universe is going to provide and show up with a place that we're going to love. Right? And if we have an acre or even a half an acre and we can have a horse in the backyard, divine, divine, right? And I'm just trusting because past evidence that has shown me that spirit, whatever you want to call it, comes through and I end up in the perfect place for me at that time. And so I did go through moments of panic, and I still occasionally it pops up and I keep reminding myself, what has the past shown me? What's the evidence? Now, of course, you know, there have been times, and I don't have time to go into that because I'm actually almost out of time here on the Blog Talk Studio. And I thank you guys who called in because I started the show on my phone today because I was not in close proximity to my computer. It's different than when I'm on the computer, and so I couldn't get to the caller, so I really apologize, but I thank you guys for calling in. So just 2 minutes left on the Blog Talk air. I am going to stay on Facebook Live for a while, so if you guys want to hop over there, go on Facebook Live, Cynthia Fontaine, the Rhode Island Psychic Medium, and I'm going to, you know, continue there for a little while. So, you know, if you click on Blog Talk, you know, if you guys haven't been to my website, check out my website, CynthiaFontaine.com. There are two more days for my 20% off sale. If you have taken any of my classes in the past, or actually, if you've taken any of Colette Marie's classes, because I've studied with Colette for so many years, you can take my advanced classes coming up here starting on January 24th. And the 20% off sale is good for two more days. I extended it because I forgot to send an email out to everybody. So it's good for two more days, and it's 20% off private sessions or my classes. You'll see the link on my website, CynthiaFontaine.com. And so take advantage of that because it's the first time I've ever done that. And, it, you know, I was having so much gratitude over the holidays, and I just feel so grateful in my life that I wanted to share that with you guys. You don't have to have the session before the 15th, but you have to book it by the 15th to take advantage of the special 20% off. And I know some of you have already done that, and I thank you so much. I have some of you on my calendar already, and some of you I have already had sessions with. So thank you. Thank you so much for that. Oh, Iggy came over and listening. Oh, so cute. So Iggy is Great Pyrenees, yeah? Mountain dog? No, I can't remember. Valerie, what kind of dog is Iggy up here? Beautiful, big, white, furry, amazing animal. Okay, so I'm going to sign off on Blog Talk here. I've got 20 seconds left. I love you guys all on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you so much for taking out time out of your day to listen, whether you're live or listening to the recording. If you like this or have found some value, please share it with your friends. And remember, I give a $25 referral bonus to anybody that you send to me who completes a session or class with me. Love you guys on Blog Talk. I will see you next time.